This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Craig Norris, and I want to invite you to check out the R330. It's kind of like Quirks and Quarks, except I don't talk about space or science or anything like that. Instead, I play the week's best Canadian indie music. Head over to cbcradio3.com for all of the info.
Hello, I'm Stuart McLean, and this is The Vinyl Cafe. Well, I want to begin the show today by saying a few words about gumballs. Not for any particular reason, just that it occurred to me that I hadn't heard anyone do that recently, and I thought it was high time someone did, and hey, who better than me? So I called Howard Graner, who happens to be the director of marketing at Oak Leaf Confections, one of Canada's largest gumball manufacturers, which makes them one of the world's largest gumball manufacturers because, well, maybe you better sit down before I tell you the next bit. When it comes to the world of gumballs, Canada's pretty much the whole ball of wax. Mexico and China are starting to get into the game, but as of yesterday, over 90% of the world's gumballs are made in Toronto, which makes gumballs, along with Hawkins cheesies and maple syrup, a genuine Canadian treat. And really, is there a better treat than a good gumball? We Canadians should know, because we make the best there are, perfectly round so they don't gum up the machines, which I don't have to tell you would be a disaster for the machine operators. They're almost handcrafted. Making a gumball's not like making ball bearings. Each one is an individual work of art. They may be perfectly round, but they're not exactly the same size. You start with big slabs of gum base, and you grind it up so that it looks like a massive glob of gum. Then you add the flavor, and you put it on a machine that forms the glob into a gum rope. And then you move the gum rope along a conveyor belt and punch out each gum ball. From there, the gum balls are sent to the panning room, into these big, big pans, thousands of gumballs all at once hitting these spinning pans. It sounds like a hailstorm at the end of the world. And there are these cans of syrup hanging over the pans, and these guys who've been doing this for 20, 25 years, this is the handcrafted part, they stand by the pans and reach up and ever so carefully add the syrup while the balls are spinning around and around. It's the syrup that hardens up and makes the gumballs hard and colorful. But you're still not finished because, like a good bottle of wine, the gumballs have to cure for a while, 5 days from start to finish. And you can buy one of those suckers for a quarter. There are 8 basic flavors: orange, grape, banana, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, green, that's lemon lime, and white, which you always think's going to taste like peppermint, but doesn't, because kids don't like the taste of peppermint. At Oak Leaf, they call the white ones fruit flavor, whatever that is. The thing is, you walk into a grocery store, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I need a little pick-me-up. And there it is, your little rainbow friend, chock full of energy bombs. And just like that, you're a kid again. Now, when you were a kid, you had to ask your mom if she'd buy you a gumball, and you never knew how that was going to work out. There didn't seem to be any way of telling. Well, guess what? Nothing has changed, because now you have to ask your pocket. Because you know you aren't going to go and ask for change just so you can have a gumball. So you reach into your pocket or your purse full of hopeful anticipation and you pull out a handful of change and you peer at it. And how great is that moment when you spot the quarter? You have a quarter and you, sir, are getting a gumball. And it isn't over yet. The fun just keeps on coming. This is as close to gambling as you can get without crossing over to the dark side, because now you have a quarter in your hand and you're bending over and you have no idea how this is going to work out. How are you feeling today, sir? Are you feeling lucky? Are you coming up a winner? Are you getting your favorite flavor? Which would, by the way, be watermelon if you lived in the States, but probably grape or strawberry or cherry if you happen to be Canadian. Is there anything else in a grocery store that makes you as happy as a gumball? You know there isn't. Name me one other thing that you enjoyed when you were 4 years old that you still enjoy just as much today. There is just so much about a gumball to enjoy. Let's begin with the fact they're full of sugar. They are trouble in your mouth, sir, and trouble is what makes this sorry old world spin round. And that's not all. They have no packaging. Gumballs have been environmentally friendly your entire life, and no brand name. They're just gumballs. Only other thing I can think of in the entire supermarket that comes close to a gumball are the fish. And you know how good fish are for you. You know what they should do? They should take all the fish from the back of the store and put them in a big machine by the doors, and you drop in a couple of bucks and you turn a knob and you never know what kind of fish you're going to get. Could be salmon steak, could be a catfish with the eyes and the whiskers and everything. And whatever fish you get, you take it home and you cook it up, and everyone loves it. How great would that be? This is Meredith Luce now with a song off her new album, Neck of the Woods. This is Southern Skies. That was Meredith Luce from Ottawa, Ontario, with Southern Skies, and that's off Meredith's new album, Neck of the Woods. Well, we've known about the Whimsical Joy T-shirt company for over 6 months now, and we've been meaning to drop in on owner and sole employee Jeff Woodrow ever since. We finally made it last weekend and are happy to report we feel better for the experience. Jeff began Joy T-shirt about 2 years ago, and if there's another company out there like this one, we haven't heard of it. Jeff's T-shirts are handmade. Each one has a picture of someone's face on it, but not people you know, not musicians like Bob Marley or political figures like Che Guevara. The people on Jeff's T-shirts are people you've never heard of. Here's how it works. You log on to Jeff's webpage at joytshirt.com and buy yourself a t-shirt. They cost $30. You can choose any one of 600 t-shirts Jeff has drawn and printed himself, each one sporting the face of a real person who could come from anywhere in the world. Once you've bought your shirt, you can send Jeff a picture of yourself, and he'll draw you and add your face to the library. The idea is you wear a picture of someone you don't know, and someone you don't know wears you. Each t-shirt comes with a little tag telling you the name of the person you've chosen and their passion in life. You could buy Ainsley from Thompson, Manitoba, who loves Elvis, shoes, and the color pink. Or Paul from Halifax, who loves hair gel. Or Jo Keeling from Taiwan, who's studying for her master's degree. The idea, says Jeff, is to get people thinking of other people, regardless of race, religion, or anything. I know, he says, I'm not going to change the world making t-shirts. It's supposed to be symbolic more than anything. But symbols work, and maybe I can change things just a little. Jeff, who is 29 years old, is an art school graduate. He got the idea for his t-shirt company while he was working on a cruise ship a few years ago. He made friends with a boy from Japan called Megumu Seki. He was a figure skater, said Jeff, working on the cruise ship, a really kind person. As a way to honor his new friend, Jeff sketched Megumu's face and put it on a shirt. He started to wear the shirt, and people started asking him about the picture. They thought it was someone famous or important who they didn't recognize, says Jeff. It's my friend Megumu, he'd say. He comes from Japan. He likes to skate. Jeff came home and thought about the t-shirt idea for a year. He started a job in animation. And then he quit and started making t-shirts in his basement. The name Joy T-shirt came from a man that Jeff met while he was still in high school. Frank Joy, said Jeff, smiling and shaking his head. I had a part-time job working at the local drugstore. Frank was just an old guy who washed the floors. No one paid attention to him, so I started talking to him during my breaks. Turns out he was a retired English professor. Turns out he didn't need the work. He did it to keep busy. Jeff stayed in touch with Frank. They wrote letters back and forth, and then when Frank got sick, Jeff would visit him. It was like in the book, Tuesdays with Maury, said Jeff. He loved to tell stories. I made a t-shirt with his face on it. I wore it to his funeral, under my shirt. Eventually, Jeff was selling enough t-shirts that he managed to get out of his basement and into a studio, the studio where I visited him last week, one smallish room on the third floor of an old warehouse. I got a business grant from the Ontario government, says Jeff as he pulls a binder off a shelf. They helped me develop my mission statement and figure out all sorts of stuff. Jeff says his long-term goal is to work it out so the t-shirts can be made in a developing country and the profits can stay there. I have to figure out a way everyone can participate, he says. I'm not sure how to achieve that. I have no business experience, but I'm learning. Jeff says he sells about 20 t-shirts a week, 80 a month. He needs to sell about 85 to break even. I'm almost there, he says. He says he could increase his profit margins if he made a few changes, and then he shrugs. More than profits, he says, what's important to me is that I run an ethical business. The shirts are made from organic cotton, and they're made in Canada by Craig and Mark Kielberger's company, Me to We. Jeff laughs. 80 shirts a month. I'm too big to be small and too small to be big. Our kind of business, we thought. Jeff smiled and pointed at a hot plate by the door. I bring my lunch and heat it up there, he said. I make my tea. I like it here, with my music, my solitude, and my shirts. I'm not going to change the world. But maybe one day an Israeli and a Palestinian could be wearing one another. And if they did, they'd have to think of one another every once in a while. And that wouldn't hurt. This is Ladysmith Black Mambazo with Love Your Neighbor. Well, that's about all the time we have for this week's show. We're heading out on tour soon. We have two shows coming up in Minnedosa, Manitoba on February 1st and 2nd. After Minnedosa, we head east to Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Maine. We'll be making stops in Charlottetown, Summerside, Miramichi, Fredericton, St. John, and Moncton, Port Hawkesbury, Glace Bay, Truro, Wolfville, Halifax, and Orono and Portland, Maine. We'll have two brand new Dave and Morley stories, music by Maritimers Matt Anderson and Megan Smith, and a whole bunch of other fun stuff we'd love to see at one of those shows. In the meantime, you can catch us here, same time, same place, next week. And a special welcome this week to our friends in Iowa, listening on Iowa Public Radio. Welcome to the world of the Vinyl Cafe. Okay, I'm running out of time here. Thanks this week to Anton Zabo for the technical assistance. David Amers, the founding producer of the Vinyl Cafe. Louise Curtis is the production assistant. Julie Penner is the music producer. Meg Masters is the long-suffering story editor. The Vinyl Cafe is produced by Jess Milton. I'm Stuart McLean.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.